Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Preds fall last night 6-2 to the Boston Bruins at Bridgestone Arena. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Munson producing behind the glass. A quick lesson coming up in a few minutes on how to take things out of context about press conferences and an audio. We'll give the fans a little lesson about how to make sure they do some digging and actually listen to what people are saying in their complete entirety before making judgments on stuff. We'll do that in just a minute. Teron Davenport going to join us as well. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on the Preds in the final hour with Adam Vingan and Linda Cohn going to join us. So a lot of stuff to get to. But John Hines does make his debut as the head coach for your Nashville Predators. He's formerly of the New Jersey Devils. He was released of his duties the first week of December, just about a month ago. So he's been unemployed for only a month. 150, 159, and 45, so under 500 factually, but largely not given a good roster, a good enough roster to compete. He did get them to the playoffs in his third season. They then dealt with a ton of injuries in his fourth season. But again, I think it is fair to ask, why does this coach work better here than he will at New Jersey? I think, number one, Nashville's got more talent than New Jersey in a large, large, large way. It's a very different collection of players. He's a young guy at 44 years old and is, from what I have learned of him, because again, just like with Jeremy Pruitt at the University of Tennessee or Mike Vrabel for the Titans, Derek, we're all just going to learn about this guy as it happens. Like, if you go on the air and you say he will win three cups or he will get fired in 2 years, you're just guessing.
Yeah,
you're just guessing. We're all going to learn about whether or not he's the right guy together. Just like we all were going to learn about Mariota, if he was the right guy for the job, or Pruitt or Vrabel, we're all going to find out together. But the one word that keeps coming to mind when I talk to people about him and I ask about him to try to do some research is the word development. And, you know, he worked with USA Hockey for a long time, and this team has some young players that are going to be developing into their primes. Some of these guys are in their primes, and they need to be pushed a little bit more. And I think that's where his expertise comes in. And I don't know how long it's going to take, Derek, before you see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there's a 6-game window here, including last night before the break, and then he gets to sort of analyze the team, get sort of a taste of what he's got on his roster, and then sort of formulate his strategy and his scheme and implement what he wants to do during that break time. And then you come back after the All-Star break and you're locked and loaded and ready to go. So I think the timing is all right. But I think if you want to get up on the air here and say you know definitively what's going to happen with John Hines as the head coach of the Nashville Predators, you're just guessing.
Yeah, you are. And I think, the situation is sort of ideal for him as a young head coach. Because he doesn't walk into a an organization and have to, help build the team. He doesn't walk into an organization that doesn't have talent. He walked into New Jersey and they didn't have as much talent, and it was like they were rebuilding. And for a new young coach that hadn't had much experience, it's hard to do that job and be successful, because when you make a mistake, there's a huge spotlight on that mistake, because one is because your team's young and you're rebuilding and your players are not as good. And then two, people are always going to point at, well, he's a young coach and this job was too big for him. And that may be true. I don't know. But here with the Nashville Predators, he gets an opportunity, as weird as it might sound, he gets an opportunity to learn as he gets older in this game with this team. And what I mean by that is this. Because this team got so much talent that he has a little leeway. It's like this trial and error. He has the ability to try some things, and it may not work, but it might not seem as a colossal, you know, disaster.
Right.
He might try something and maybe he doesn't get the fullness of it that he wanted, but it still sort of works, and then he knows how to tweak it from there. He can try more with a better team because he feels that, okay, if I try this, if it doesn't work, it may still work in the end because right. This team is so talented.
Yep.
You know, if I try a shift, and maybe with a younger team, it wouldn't have worked. But with this team, right. They're talented, it's going to work somewhat. And then I know I can't do this anymore. I got away with it, and now I know how to tweak the line even more. You can do that with a veteran, talented team where you're learning to be a coach, and your miscues are not seen as big.
Yep.
Because the talent is so great.
John Hines, your new head coach for your Nashville Predators, debuted last night, 6-2 loss, so not the way you want to start, but it's a Boston Bruins team that's amongst the best teams in the NHL. You literally like landed into town like yesterday morning and had to coach a game last night, so I don't know how much you can take. But here is John Hines, and of course his first post-game press conference as a Nashville Predators coach, on how much he can take from last night's game versus like what we're saying here, having to wait a few more games to figure things out.
I think every time you're around them, particularly when you're new, it's learning. There's going to be now tomorrow's our first practice, right? So it's going to be, what's that day going to be like? What are my expectations of the coach? What are the players going to be? So it was really valuable, you know, and I was thinking prior to the game of just certain areas coming in, you know, some things that you want to work on in practice, and then going through the game and then just watching some film before I came to meet with you guys. There's some slight tweaks. We'll continue to move along with them. And I think every day that we're together and every opportunity we get to compete and get tested and get challenged, and those are all areas that we're going to continue to improve on.
What a popular coach we got.
There's some people cheering behind him
in
the back.
What a popular coach we got.
Listen, just one of the things that stood out to me listening to that, and part of the reason we wanted to play that, he coached a game before he coached a practice. And this is what's weird about the NHL, because it's just different. It's just a different sport. That's why four coaches in the last 10 years have taken over midseason and won Stanley Cups. That doesn't exist in any other sport. It's happened four times. You know, Pittsburgh did it in 2009 and 2016. The Kings did it in 2012, and the Blues did it last year. Firing a coach midseason and winning a Stanley Cup championship is just not something that happens in any other sport. But just think about that. Can you imagine if you fired if the Titans midseason were, you know, 2-4 and they fired their coach, and then Mike Vrabel was hired and he has to coach a game before he coached a practice? How crazy is that?
Yeah, you can't do that in the NFL. You just can't, because typically when you fire the head coach, you know, you want to get rid of the staff too. Very seldom do they hire. I've never seen them hire someone from the outside midseason. That's just
like a permanent, not an interim hire, but like a real full hire. Right?
That it's just you can't do it. It will end up being a disaster anyway. So you might as well just keep the coach until the end of the season. I think that's why, you know, I think that's the mind thought.
That's why Jason Garrett was employed as long as he was.
I think that's what the NFL owners, you know, listen, we might as well keep this guy, because if we try to hire from outside after four or five games, it's going to end up being a disaster anyway. Because the system, and you're asking players to learn a new system and all this other stuff. So you don't see the NFL doing it. You see basketball do it every once in a while. You see hockey do it, obviously. I don't know how much they do it in baseball, but I'm sure it has happened. But when you do it here, you mentioned those other teams, and I said, you know, to me, I think they had success because they hired from within. Whether they hired on an interim level and he earned a coaching job, or it was a temporary thing. When you hire from within and teams go on a run, it's for a reason. It's because that continuity, that, you know, the way that you know they wanted to play, it stays in place. But they, you know, when a new guy comes in that has already been on that staff, he's able somehow, some way to get a little extra out of those players. Nothing really changes. The personality doesn't change. They know this guy. They're familiar with him. It's not like they're trying to figure him out. They know everything about him because he's been on his staff for, you know, years and years and years. And frankly, people probably like him. You know, the assistant coaches tend to be the people the players love rather than the head coach, because the head coach has to, you know, throw down a gavel, and he has to be the bad guy. And then the assistant coaches are the good guys. So typically when you have a move like that and it's hired within, it's an assistant coach, and guys typically go out and get the job done.
Right.
This is going to be hard this season. I'm not even talking about next season. I'm just saying this season. I think if people believe that John Hines is going to come in, Hines is going to come in, and this team is going to the Stanley Cup like the Blues or anybody else, that's far-fetched. It really is. Can it happen? Possibly, yes.
Hey, 40% of the time, the last 10 years it's happened, which is a crazy number.
Yeah, but no one ever talks about why it happened, because they hired from within. Very seldom do you see them hire from outside. This is a unique situation.
Rarely in the middle of a season do you hire your next coach, meaning long term.
Exactly.
In the middle of a year. Now, that also, and I think it raises a fair question about this process, which is, he was just released from the Devils a little more than a month ago, early December. And so he was a coach that was fired because he has a record that is under 500, and he happened to be available. It's not like you can go hire a guy who's a sitting head football coach, even though the Cowboys were, like, trying to do that, like, we'll still having a coach. Like, you can't, you know, you're not going to go take a guy who's a sitting head coach of another NHL team to come be your coach. Now, maybe you can acquire an assistant, but even then, there's got to be all kinds of rules on. I know there are rules in the NFL where you have to, you know, you have to get approval from other teams to have conversations. So, it is an unusual circumstance that the guy who's going to lead us to a Stanley Cup championship just also happened to be unemployed right now. That is a fair question, but again, there's also a lot to like about the resume, the development, the USA Hockey angle, how young he is, how he connects with young players, how he develops young players. You know, the whole thing that you don't really get a fair shake in New Jersey because the talent, the injuries from 2 years ago, and the talent level's just not there. He did develop Taylor Hall into a superstar. So there's plenty of things to like about the hire, but like you said, Derek, don't fool yourself. It's a very unusual situation. Mm-hmm. And listen, we're all going to learn together. Who knows if he's going to win cups or not? Nobody knows. Anybody who comes on here and tells you that they know whether or not John Hines is going to win 6 cups or 0 cups and get fired, nobody knows. We're all guessing, just like we did with Vrabel, just like we did with Pruitt, just like we're doing with, you know, Jerry Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. Anytime these coaches, you can have an educated guess, but largely it's still just a guess as to whether or not these coaches are going to be great, because tiny little things can change the course of a franchise and a team, and sometimes it's just luck. I mean, the bounce of the ball in football, how many careers have been changed because that ball bounces all funny when it hits the ground instead of a basketball, you know? I will say this, though, one final note on Lavi in general. You know, listen, the MO on Peter Laviolette when he was hired was that, you know, guys want to play for him. They want to play hard for him. They're going to run through a wall for him, and then the act wears a little thin. That was the story coming out of Carolina. That was the story coming out of Philadelphia. We thought maybe that had been adjusted and he had softened a little bit. But obviously he had not, and the staleness of the message was still there. The players also need to be held accountable for what their part of this is, a huge part of this. And I can also sit here and say, yeah, sure, it was the right move to move on from Peter Laviolette, while also saying Peter Laviolette means a whole lot to this city and a whole lot to this franchise, and that it's okay to remember a guy, even though that he was fired this year and the team underachieved. You still can't talk about the Nashville Predators organization without talking about the impact that Peter Laviolette had on this team. And that is the three best years, just like P.K. Subban, the three best years of hockey that we've ever basically seen from this organization. Peter Laviolette is directly responsible for them. So two things can exist. He can be a great member of this organization and have had a huge impact, and also be a guy that just got let go. So those two things can exist at the same time, and both of them be true. So interesting stuff as John Hines takes over. Again, I like the timing of it because your team just laid a giant egg on the biggest national stage that you've played on in a long time. You clearly didn't play well against an Anaheim team that is just absolutely atrocious. And I like the timing because you get 6 games to see what he's got, to get to know the locker room, to understand the dynamics of the team. Then you get the All-Star break, some time off to think about it and sort of establish what you want to do. And then you come back and it's sort of like, all right, game on. So I think it's a nice – actually, it works out – I think – maybe I'm wrong here, but I think it works out well from a timing standpoint.
So looking at the text line, there is a Devils fan responding, and he said he's basically going to give him 5 games to prove him wrong, which is because he basically watched this guy for 5.5 years, and he already kind of made his opinion about him as a coach. So he said he has 5 games to prove him wrong.
Four now.
Well, I love the there were some people tweeting it last night. It's like, what have you done for me lately, coach? it's like, dude, I got into town this morning.
I wonder, unpack my bag.
I wonder if he had the Liam Neeson voice. You have 5 games to figure this out. Or else I'll find you.
Oh, man. I did love that. They were like, well, 6-2 to Boston. Got to fire him. Get rid of him. Because, you know, Twitter's so much fun. It has such a good time with everything. So,
man.
Hey, Coach, are you feeling any pressure?
Mm-hmm. Coach, are you feeling pressure? You got 4 games, according to one person.
Coach, you've coached 60 minutes in this city. Are you feeling any pressure? come on. Let's give the guy some time, and we'll see what happens, and then we'll move on from there. All right, one guy had a lot to say. One Baltimore Raven defender had a lot to say about the Tennessee Titans offense, but are people not listening to what he really had to say? We will try to explain when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Man, listen up. Because I've been telling you this for a good bit now. And I've been telling you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced and wonderful staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Spring MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. It's the flu season, guys, so we don't need our immune system to start breaking down. So go and see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. Also, they are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And that we do need, men. And there's no better time now to achieve that healthy lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make an appointment, not tomorrow, but today. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Oh, this is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. It's good to see you guys again, man. I tell you what. As I've gotten older and have had two kids, although I didn't have them. My wife did all the hard work. I've turned into a giant just sap. Like, I watch, like, war movies and start crying. Like, I cry about everything now. So bad. I've turned into such a baby. And I spent the last 2 days doing a lot of crying with a lot of family members. And so it's good to be back with you two knuckleheads joking about football and hockey and stuff.
Oh, man. We had so much fun.
I'm glad to be back here with you guys. It makes my heart and my spirit is full to be back here talking about the Preds power play again. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame shows. First off, playoff edition of the kickoff from 9 a.m. to noon. After that, I believe that's with Calvin and Elijah, of course. Chase McCabe and Teron Davenport will be live from Baltimore from noon to 2 p.m. Again, I don't know who thought it was a good idea to send the constable to Baltimore unattended. Is he being supervised? Is there a chaperone?
No, he will. He's doing a show with TD, so that's TD's his chaperone.
I don't think TD's got like his own families to worry about. Like, he ain't got time to take care of constable. He's got like 3 kids.
We are tasking him to take care of constable while he's there.
You better pay him extra then. The constable. You can only hope to contain the constable. Exactly. You cannot be stopped.
Baltimore, watch out.
Then catch a special edition of. I can just see the constable strolling through Hamsterdam.
Stay off of Canton. Stay out of Canton, constable.
Catch a special edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 5 p.m. Live on location from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, located at 1003 Russell Street, followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, live from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the AFC Divisional Round playoff game with the Titans and the Ravens. How cool is that? The NFL pregame show is brought to you, of course, by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. So basically, we've got, like, we are just wall-to-wall football on Saturday. So here's a comment that's making the rounds. It's on TV. And Marquise, you saw this on Twitter, correct? You saw a quote from Earl Thomas, Baltimore Ravens safety, Earl Thomas. And
I like Saban, but I don't like him enough to name a team after him. I'm sorry.
The Baltimore Sabans. It's actually Kent State. They're going to change from the Golden Flashes to the Golden Sabans. So there was a quote, and it's been making the rounds. It's been on, you know, we've seen it on TV already this morning and in yesterday. And, you know, Earl Thomas, I think, took a huge shot at the Tennessee Titans, just absolutely just disrespecting the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Earl Thomas had to say.
If Tannehill tried to pass on us, I don't think that'd go in their favor.
Okay. So that's what he did say.
Mm-hmm.
But then Marquise, being the rational, intelligent, savvy producer that he is,
Munson,
decided to say to myself, oh, maybe I should find out what he actually was saying.
Well, yeah, because, yeah. So let's play the full audio of what he had to say, and then I'll explain, people.
Yeah, the key to, you know, stopping play action is stopping the run game. I think, you know, when the run game gets going, that's when the play action shot's available, because the defense is so aggressive trying to stop the run. So if we knocked it out from the start, I think we'll be fine. I think if Tannehill try to pass on us, I don't think that'll go in their favor. So we know they're going to try to run the ball. So, but we just got to stop the run and play sound on the back end. I think that'll take care of the play action pass.
That sounds
like a normal human being talking about football.
Exactly.
He's not taking a shot at people. He's not taking a shot at Ryan Tannehill. What he is doing is saying, listen, when you run the football, it opens up play action.
Exactly.
And what we've got to do is we've got to stop Derrick Henry running the football. And we think we can do that. And if we can do that, then Ryan Tannehill's not going to be able to find success in the passing game. He's not disrespecting Ryan Tannehill in the passing attack. If you take that little cut and you take it out of context,
that everybody else just took that little cut,
and that's what everybody's doing right now, that's not really what he said. So it's important to understand context of what people are saying.
And see, this is why I listened to this whole press conference, and this is why, because when you look at that quote, you want to know what question was asked. Well, what do you think about Tannehill's performance? That's what I'm thinking.
Does Ryan Tannehill suck at football?
Does Ryan Tannehill suck at
that
football?
That was not the question.
But that wasn't a question. So I'm listening to it. I'm like, man, where's the shot at Tannehill? And it's towards the end of his press conference, kind of like towards the back end, and he starts asking about play action. I'm like, oh, okay, this can't be the question. And sure enough, that was the question. I'm like, huh? That's not a shot at all at
that
Tannehill.
That is just common sense.
That's what play action is.
Exactly. That if you stop the run, then it's harder for them to play action, because now I don't have to be, like you said, I don't have to be as aggressive to stop the run. We can play what we usually play in the back end and be okay. But if we can't stop the run, then that's when the play action works. But if they just want to throw the ball around a yard, they're not going to. That's not going to work out well for them, and I believe that to be true. They have two All Pros at corner. They have a safety that is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. They got another safety that's playing really good. They got a third and fourth corner that is really good. They got a defensive line that can rush the back. They want you to throw the football.
They have what, 5 first round draft picks in their secondary?
That's what they want you to do, is throw the football.
Yeah. And so again, I think it's a couple of lessons here. Number one, it's a lesson on how, you know, especially on television, that things can be taken out of context, and that Marquise did the absolute right thing, which is to go deeper into the context and find out really what was being talked about, and not try to blow up some singular one line out of a 5-sentence quote that is taken out of context. And I think people like to blame us in the media for doing that all the time. We don't do that on this show. That's why Munson back there is doing great work, because he was like, no, not only am I going to go back and find out what the question was and find out what his whole answer is, but I'm going to find out what the whole press conference was, and I'm going to do like this. That's great work by you, Marquise, and I think it's
journalism degree at Alabama.
There you go, baby. Roll Tide, baby. So I think it's what he's saying, Earl Thomas, there in reality is a huge bit of respect to Derrick Henry and to the running game, and saying we have to do this, we have to stop them. Now, I will also say that every other team the Titans play comes into the game saying we've got to stop Derrick Henry.
Same thing,
and a lot of times it doesn't work.
Yeah,
so maybe it works from Baltimore, maybe it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But Baltimore, your game plan, guys, isn't exactly creative and unique to stop Derrick Henry is your number one priority. That's everyone's number one priority when they play the Titans.
Now, I will say this, though. Earl Thomas did talk about having to stop Derrick Henry. Now, this one was pretty much a blatant shot at the Patriots, and here's what he said.
Yeah, so I think Tannehill probably threw like 17 times last game for like 75 yards in a playoff game, and they still won. You know, that's a credit to how hard he's running and their O-line. He's a cutback runner. He's very patient. He'll find creases. And guys didn't seem like they was too interested in tackling him. So I think our mindset is a little different. I think we're going to try to tackle him. We're going to try to swarm. And we're going to see how it plays out.
This reminds me of the Mike Tyson line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, of course your game plan is to tackle him.
Yeah.
Until he punches you in the mouth with his giant
kneecap. Until you got to tackle him.
Until you got to tackle him 34 times.
Yeah.
I think it's that big of a shot at the Patriots.
Yeah,
it is a little bit there at the end.
They are totally built different than the New England Patriots. You know, their mindset as an organization is a little bit different because I was a part of it. The mindset, and please don't take this wrong, they got a thuggish mindset, which I love when it comes to their defense, because they just don't care. They're coming at you from every angle, and that's sort of what the Titans have. They just don't – they're just injured. They're
right,
just
right.
A lot of injuries right now.
Jayon Brown's got
exactly.
One arm.
But the Titans, the history, the pillars – of defense for the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens are the same. They're thuggish in what they do defensively because they want to intimidate you. They want to knock you on your butt, and they want to keep on hitting you. That's just how they play.
Well, and to me, the number one factor in this game for me, if I'm a Titans fan, on defense, there's lots of things on offense. On defense, and we'll ask Ron Davenport about this when he comes back, when we come back and he'll join us. I want you to hit Lamar Jackson every single time he's got the football. Mm-hmm. And that's that same attitude, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Kamale Correa coming off the edge and he's running an option. Mm-hmm. You hit him. You hit him hard, and you hit him all game long. You make him think twice about every single time he runs the football between the tackles or even off the edge. You make him think about it. Whether he pitches it to Mark Ingram or hands it on the dive or what, I want you to hit his ass every single play. Mm-hmm. Every single play. And that is that same attitude. That's the same mindset. And I want – and we'll talk to Teron Davenport because he did a great job on his Twitter account showing us how to break down and how to manage and kind of match up with this Ravens rushing attack. And he said it. He circled Kamale Correa and he said, this outside edge backer here who's going to be lined up in this certain technique here, he needs to be responsible for hitting Lamar Jackson every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. Now, I'm not saying be dirty. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying – hit that dude every single time. We'll talk with Teron when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And by the way, Chase and Teron Davenport, that's Chase and TD, of course, coming up. I believe that's noon to 2 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, of course, live from Baltimore. Teron, welcome to the show. I don't know who decided to allow Chase McCabe to go to Baltimore unsupervised without a chaperone, but are you going to be in charge of his behavior when you're in Baltimore?
Yeah, that's why I'm submitting a request for an increase in funding. And, you know, I need to be paid for my additional role of supervision.
Yeah, you didn't think you were going to be a babysitter this weekend, did you? But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. All right, so I saw you break down, and check out Teron. This is what I love about Teron's Twitter account. Check out his Twitter account. He did a little quick breakdown, I think it was yesterday, and about how to attack this Ravens rushing attack. And listen, if you know anything about triple option football in general, it's always about gap assignment and discipline and using your eyes and all that good stuff. But you had some really interesting thoughts about this. And whether it's Kamale Correa lined up, sort of kicked out at an angle on the edge, whoever is responsible, whoever that guy is, who is responsible for, quote-unquote, taking the quarterback in that in those plays, needs to be physical with Lamar Jackson. And that's one of my biggest points. If you want, you got to set the tone early, and you got to hit number eight, and you got to hit him all game long so that he starts to think about stuff. I don't know how easy that is to do, Teron, but it feels like that's where you should start if you're a defensive player.
Yeah, that is where you should start. And you have to get hard legal hits. I want to make sure we emphasize legal because, you know, the objective is not to hurt anybody. But if you notice in that breakdown, what allows the outside linebacker or defensive end, however you want to put it, what allows him to really focus on hitting the quarterback is an additional layer of edge contain or edge setting by the DB, which in this case was Logan Ryans.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, you're good. You're good. It sets up different things. You know, obviously, they will say, okay, you could pass off of it. But, you know, the thing that a lot of these people who are chiming in saying this don't realize is that these are athletes who are capable of having two assignments on one play. So I think we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to ultimately give – you know, if they're going to stop Baltimore's rushing attack, you got to give yourself a chance. And by giving yourself a chance is, you know, setting the edge, playing your assignment. That at least gives you a chance. Not to say that you're going to stop it, because we saw last week with New England, you know, they were, it's not like New England was out of place. Those guys were in place. They just couldn't stop it. But at least when you're in place, you give yourself an opportunity to stop a play like that. And Tennessee needs to be in a position to stop the play. Vrabel has his whole career has been that, being where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there, setting the edge and then going from there. He got to get those guys to truly buy into that this game. And I mean for 60 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the message that is going from the coaching staff to the players is do your job. And it's interesting because it's do your jobs, because plural, because in this case, there are things that could change. You know, Lamar could switch it up, you know what I mean, and be really good throwing the ball as well. So they have multiple roles that they have to fulfill. And it's going to be a tough assignment.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Morning Drive. So obviously the Patriots did not have the personnel to take advantage of sort of the areas of weakness that the Titans defense is exhibiting right now, which is sort of lack of health in the back end. And, you know, the Chiefs, for example, scare the heck out of me with their weaponry, and they threw for a billion yards. It's why the Saints took advantage. It's why Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins eventually took advantage of the fourth quarter a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if Baltimore's got those type of weapons. They are going to attack you with those tight ends, and they're very good in those positions. But am I crazy to think that the talent for the Titans' defense is uniquely qualified with the way Daquan Jones has played, with Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons, their ability to clog up the middle, with the linebackers' abilities and corner and safety's versatility? Vaccaro can step into the box as well. I feel like they're uniquely qualified from a personnel standpoint to actually really give this rushing attack a little bit of a challenge. Am I crazy to think that?
No, you're not crazy, because the thing is, and those guys you mentioned, Simmons, Casey, and Daquan Jones, and man, every chance I get to say Daquan Jones is absolutely balling, I'm going to say it, because that guy does not get credit for what he's doing. So when you look at those three guys, between those three guys, you have three guys that could two-gap if you want them to. So that makes it a lot easier to set the edge. Like, I'm not saying have your three guys two-gap, but, I mean, you can have multiple guys doing it, and that will make it easier for guys on the outside to funnel things back inside. And then you could have, you know, guys like Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown coming down and collapsing on those interior gaps too. So definitely they're suited for stopping the run. And the thing that I also think is really good about this team is when they go big nickel or three safety look, Monty Hooker is a good tackler. You know, Kenny Vaccaro is playing really well also. And you can have Byard there with his ability to play center field. Now you have a single pole safety, and you could be confident with that single pole safety because of the inability for receivers other than Marquise Brown to work their way down the field. Now, that being said, you will still see a guy like Mark Andrews run those seam routes, and that's somewhere that Lamar Jackson really likes to go. So you have to take note. You know, they go 13 personnel. As Kenny Vaccaro told me last night, or yesterday rather, you are able to go 13 personnel, give 11 and 12 personnel looks because of those tight ends and their versatility.
Yeah, those tight ends are a big part of what Baltimore likes to do. I think they probably were some of the, if not the most productive tight ends in the National Football League because of how they run their offense and under Greg Roman. Looking at the Titans offense, now we know Derrick Henry has to get the ball, you know, 30 times again. And, you know, whether that wears him down or not, I don't know, but that has to be the focal point of what they do.
Yeah.
But also Ryan Tannehill, he has to produce something in the passing game in order for this to work, for them to continue to move through the playoffs, because not many teams can get through the whole playoff without, you know, showing some resemblance of a passing game.
Yep. No, that's 100% true. And expect the Ravens to go out there and focus on stopping the run. That being said, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for these receivers to make plays. In fact, Earl Thomas said that if they're able to make it so Ryan Tannehill is the guy that has to make plays to win, he said that works in their favor. So, hey, there goes a challenge to the passing game. And I think, you know, you're right about Derrick Henry and having to run the ball a lot. And here's the thing. There's two games. If you go back and watch that 49ers game and then watch the first Browns game, Nick Chubb and Raheem Mostert were able to get out there in the alley, and they got busy. Both of them had huge rushing days against the Ravens. So I think that's something that kind of plays if they're able to do that. But, I mean, yeah, the passing game has to happen. And the thing that's so interesting is Wink Martindale, the DC, he loves to send pressure. But behind that pressure, they use a lot of man. Like, they go a lot of zero blitz, you know. And with that, you have to be able to make plays quickly in the passing game because that pressure's coming because they're outnumbering your guys to protect. So when you have Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, and Marcus Peters behind them, that's a good opportunity for, you know, Ryan Tannehill and that passing game to take up a challenge against a really good group.
Well, and there's a reason a lot of people go right at Marcus Peters. I mean, he makes plays, but he also gives up a lot of plays as well. Teron Davenport joining us here. I just try to describe the differences because the Patriots were built on the back end as well. A lot of their investment came in their secondary, which is a new trend you're seeing in the NFL where teams are building from their back end and using pass coverage as the place that they invest, even though we always traditionally think of a great defensive line as a way to stop a passing attack. So maybe compare and contrast what the Patriots scheme is and how they're built and what they did, because I think they actually decided to let Derrick Henry run the football, and it just backfired because he was too good. How different personnel-wise, strength and weaknesses-wise, scheme-wise, is this Baltimore Ravens defense going to be compared to what they saw last week?
Yeah, last week they used a lot of two safety looks, and you know that takes an extra guy out of the box, and anytime you do that against Derrick Henry, it's not going to result in good things. But as far as how they match up, I think across the board, the Ravens have a better secondary just because, as I mentioned, those three corners. I mean, you got two, you know, all pros in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. And Jimmy Smith is no slouch himself. But I think the key to all of that is Earl Thomas and what he's able to do against the run, against the screen game, also playing center field. He's one of the best safeties in the league. So I think he's the wild card for them. And I think, you know, the scheme has a lot to do with that, too, because, like I said, they go a lot of man defense, and they send pressure, and they force you into a bad decision. And Marcus Peters is an absolute ball hawk. So I think that's the main difference between the two. But here's the thing. Peters, he reminds me a lot, if you remember, Asante Samuel, where he like you said, he gambles, right? And he makes his living off of jumping routes. So I wouldn't be surprised to see play action, especially being as though A.J. Brown has established that he's really good on that slant. play action, slow go seam, and I think that could lead to a big play. And with that play action, the reason why I mentioned that is because that gives you max protection.
Yeah, they're going to this defense reminds me so much of Seattle's defense. You know, when they had players littered on that defense and they were aggressive and they can play man-to-man or they can play this sort of man-zone type of defense, and they never really truly left themselves exposed. I think what it's going to truly boil down to for me is how does Dean Pease, match up against Greg Roman? And I'm not just talking about the first quarter because, you know, people are going to – I'm pretty sure the Titans are going to make plays in the first quarter. It's just going to happen. That's just how it's going to be. Or Baltimore is going to make plays in the first quarter. It's the second, third, and fourth when teams settle in. Now what does, you know, Dean Pease do to that offense? Greg Roman has been known to switch it up. Dean Pease has been known to switch it up. But the problem here is that Dean Pease is lacking the personnel because of injury. That's going to be the matchup for me that I want to watch throughout the game, not just in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. For me, when I look at that, as long as the Titans could get it to the second quarter or second half with the score being close, I think it favors them. And it's just because of how good they are in the second half rushing the football, right? And it's just like a part of the formula for them. Go in, call tails, win the toss, defer, keep the game close, get the ball back in the third quarter, and take the lead. That's just, it seems like that's what they do week in and week out. So I think when you look at that, it definitely favors the Titans. But you're right, Pease is a bit limited. But I will say Tremaine Brock, he made a really good play at the end of the game to force that ball up in the air so Logan Ryan could intercept it.
Teron Davenport joining us here, man. We do appreciate your time. Safe travels to Baltimore. That's why we're talking to you today. I know you're traveling. And then, of course, you'll be up there with Chase from noon to 2 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Baltimore, live from Baltimore, talking Titans and Ravens. Thank you so much, man.
No problem. You got it. Appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure talking to the all-time leader of the Ravens and Titans receiving court.
Oh, well, thank you, Teron.
I thought he was talking about me for a second there. Thanks, TD.
All right.
I was like, where was he going with this? I've never led anything. Speaking of your career, I want to get your thoughts on these two, and I need to pin you down on something, as well as maybe reminisce a bit. We'll do that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to The Game, and hopefully The Game Nashville app as well, live from the Wholesale Link studio. Powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and Marquise Munson. I'm going to get you to tell a story real quickly in just a second. But we were talking during the break that about the end of the Buffalo Bills Houston Texans playoff game on Saturday, and just how mind bogglingly stupid the Buffalo Bills were at the end of the game, and like things that I've watched football for 37 years, and I'm not sure I've seen some of the things that happened in that game. But it did remind me of something, Derek.
Yes,
and it reminded me of when Houston and Buffalo get together in the postseason, crazy stuff happens. Frank Reich,
yeah,
with the biggest comeback in NFL playoff history, right? Or did Andrew Luck break that record? I think it's still Frank Reich. And the Bills and the Texans, they get together, crazy. I guess it would have been the Oilers at the time. Of course, obviously, it's not Houston, but what took place here, it is. Today, what day is today, Marquise? Is today January 8th?
Yeah.
Did anything happen on January 8th?
Our brother was born.
Is it really your brother's birthday?
Yeah, my older brother.
Happy birthday, older brother.
He set me up for that, didn't he?
Yeah, happy birthday, older brother.
Happy birthday.
He don't listen. I don't think he supports my endeavors. I don't know.
This is getting serious.
Exactly.
Why doesn't Big Bro listen to my show, man?
I just want you to love me, man.
Derek, do you have anything in your career that you think happened on January 8th? I can't think of anything.
Not really. I was born 9 days later.
Your birthday is coming up.
Yeah.
So what are you, like 57?
Yeah, close to it. I was born 9 days later.
Marquise, would you like to tell everybody
what happened
on January 8th?
Well, outside of my brothers? Oh, yeah. Music City Miracle.
Ah,
the Music City Miracle. Yeah, so we are the 20th anniversary.
Damn, it's been that long.
The Music City Miracle. Now, here's one part of this that I don't think anybody realizes is that Derek Mason should have been the guy who scored that touchdown.
Yeah, I was supposed to originally be in the play.
And you guys practiced it all the time, right?
Yeah, we practiced that play every Saturday morning. That was Alan Lowry's. That was his go-to play if we ever got in a jam and we needed to score at the end of the game. And, you figure the likelihood of this working is very, very slim.
But you practice it anyway.
It didn't work much in practice other than, that can't tackle you. So we always said it worked, but it really didn't work because we were tackled. That's something that you practice in hopes that you don't need it. But if you need it, it's there. It's always better to have and not need than need and not have. I finally got a chance to watch that game a few years ago because I never watched it. And I went out in the second quarter, I believe it was before halftime, and on a punt return, actually. And they took my helmet and couldn't go back into the game.
So everyone knows what that means.
Yeah, everybody, you can't come back.
I had a concussion. In 2000 for you to?
Exactly. So
they barely take the helmets away when they're supposed to today.
Absolutely.
So it was bad then.
So they took my helmet. And then, my backup was Anthony Dorsett. So he was the guy that was supposed to then get the ball if I wasn't out there. Well, Anthony Dorsett went down. And then it was supposed to be, I believe, Isaac Byrd. But Isaac Byrd was out there, but Isaac Byrd wasn't in the right position. Isaac Byrd was the one that was supposed to have caught the ball and given it to Frank, and Frank was supposed to throw it back. Well, Lorenzo Neal found preacher man finagled his way into getting the football, finagled his way into getting the football, giving it to Frank, and Frankie, being the great guy that he is, did what he usually does, make a play. And, he made a play. Kevin was there, and that play was thrown off from the jump. And I don't know why Buffalo didn't see it coming, but they didn't. And I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always told people, it worked out the way it was supposed to work out. The people that touched the football are the people that were supposed to touch the football. And Lowe got it, gave it to Frankie. Frankie, lateraled it back to Kevin. And the wall was set up perfectly. I mean, the wall was set up.
And no discipline from Buffalo at all.
It couldn't have been set up no more perfect than what it was. I mean, it was like brick and mortar, just up the set, right on the numbers, how we designed it. And he did not get touched running up the sideline. Nope. And the only way we don't win that game to if they go back and replay it and say it wasn't a lateral or Kevin falls down. Well, neither happened. And, the rest is history. And that play propelled that organization, the organization I was a part of. And, we were good that season, but I think, making it to the Super Bowl that year, that, gave the fans something to hold on to for many years. And that's what they're trying to get
back now. There is some team of destiny niche when you think about this Titans current run, because think about how they beat the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically three goal line stand plays, how mm-hmm. you do that, and then the Buccaneers, gifting you two drives inside the 10-yard line. The way you block a field goal against the Colts and the Chiefs, not one block, but two block field goals to win games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start putting it all together and you go, okay, this is almost impossible to maintain all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you play Tom Brady and you're the team, New England South, with the former GM who used to work there, the coach who used to play there, Logan Ryan with a pick six to seal the deal. Like, it's like almost too perfect a story to go up to New England and end the Patriots dynasty, quote, if that is in fact what happens and Tom Brady does in fact leave. Again, I'll believe it when I see it. I still think Tom is back in New England, but maybe I'm the only one. It all feels like it's lining up to, and now you play the Ravens
mm-hmm.
with all the history. you know, the Music City Miracles 20 years ago today. Like, it's just, you start to put it all together and you go, no, this can't be, they can't be going on another miracle run, can they? Tannehill's playing out of his mind, although mm-hmm. he didn't necessarily play great last game. He's going to have to play better. But I just think it's fascinating that you look at history and you sort of look at how this team is playing. And again, there's some team of destiny type of stuff that we even talked about like weeks ago on the show before they even got there. By the way, Jeff Fisher will join Darren Donick and Chaser the Constable coming up today at 11 a.m. So Jeff Fisher will be able to recount the Music City Miracle as well. But I think you have a great attitude about it. Mm-hmm. Like, Lorenzo Neal, two of the three guys that were in that play weren't supposed to be in that play.
Exactly.
And
weren't supposed to touch the football.
And it worked out because exactly. they were in the play. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of one of those serendipitous, like, well, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? Yeah. And I'm surprised it took you so long to go back and watch it, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game. Why watch it, man? I mean, you know, I haven't watched much of any playoff games that we played in.
And that one, you don't necessarily remember all the plays that took place. That
one, I definitely, it took me a while to watch the Super Bowl, but that was something different.
That's a different reason altogether. Yep, no question about that. All right, real quickly, we've got a couple other big stories in the NFL, so we'll get to those stories. You got coaches everywhere, coaches getting hired. We got all kinds of new stuff, so we'll get you up to date on that. Also, John Hines debuts last night as the head coach for the Nashville Predators, so we'll get to that. Sean Henry going to join us next hour, so we got a lot to do. Don't go anywhere. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.